Your conference is being recorded.
Well, welcome everyone. And Stephanie, I see that you're in the chat there, so that's great. This is our first conference call for RP 101, which is Plan for Success. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tongan Council. And if you're also on your computer and are able to open the presentation, the hyperlink is in the top section just above where it says week one. We will be using some of the presentation slides, but if you can't see them, that's okay. I'll make sure I explain them clearly for you. So for RP 101, you might have a number of different reasons why you might plan, but essentially planning is about making a difference. So when we look at outcome-based and strategic approaches to planning, it makes it easier for us to prioritize what we're doing and create plans for recreation that benefits our individuals and like individuals in our communities and our communities as well. And so this planning is this learning event focuses really on the process of planning. And I know a number of other learning events do too, but this one looks at it from a slightly different angle. If you're in the slide presentation, you'll see on slide 4 that the learning event encourages you to look at how, or explore how planning for recreation can help you realize the benefits of recreation, so the individual, the social and environmental benefits. It's going to help you identify some basic planning concepts that are part of a recreation programming cycle, and it's also going to help you learn or encourage you to demonstrate how planning can help you achieve your longer-term visions or outcomes. So as we usually do on our conference calls, we'll do introductions next, then we'll dig a bit into the content, and then we'll have some discussions around planning for outcomes and a few other things in strategic planning. So let's begin with a round of introductions, and I'm wondering if in your introduction, just for fun, and no rush today, I'm not going to say in 10 seconds or less or anything like that, but if you're in your introduction, you could tell us your name, your role, your community. It's also fun to hear something neat about your community if you'd like to share that as well. And then briefly share one thing in your past week that required planning. So we'll start in the order that you joined the call, and then I will rotate it. So Megan joined first. So I'll go first. I'll give you an example of the introduction. Then we'll go to Megan, then Lindsay and Stephanie. And then the next time we go around our circle, we'll start with Lindsay, just so that, Megan, you don't feel like you're put on the spot the whole time through the call. So for myself, I'm Caroline. As you know, I'm the Learning Consultant for Recreation North Training Program based out of Whitehorse. And in the past few days, I've been trying to plan a trip with my new granddaughter, who's 2.5 months old, down to see her great-grandparents outside of Vancouver. And the planning is proving a little challenging, not just because of COVID, but because it's really easy to get to Vancouver, but it's looking really challenging to get with a baby and all the baby paraphernalia from Vancouver over to the Sunshine Coast or Seashell. So that's been my challenge planning. So totally personal planning, but definitely a challenge anyways. So Megan, let's go to you for introductions, and then Lindsay, and then Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Megan Hassey. I am a program coordinator with the Sport and Recreation Division with the Government of Nunavut. I'm from Baker Lake, Nunavut, and one thing that I this week that required planning was one of my friends was accepted for a training program, and this friend didn't have access to, like, Wi-Fi or a computer or anything, but had to submit a bunch of documents. So I had to help him figure out how to get them printed and submitted, and it was a very short, like, we had a very close deadline, so we had to get that all done right away. So that was a fun little challenge, but we definitely did how to figure out how to work around, like, our own schedules and work and everything like that.
That's interesting, too, because that just shows sometimes planning is more challenging in communities or in situations where we don't have access to things like technology that people might expect that we have access to. So a really good example, Megan, of how something might be harder for you to plan and figure out than it would be for someone somewhere else in the country. Thank you and welcome. Over to you, Lindsay.
So right now I am planning the Volunteer of the Year appreciation for our Volunteer of the Year program for work, and with all the new regulations being gone, we're opening up on the 18th, I'm just figuring out how that might affect our appreciation portion to our program. Normally in the past before COVID, we'd do a dinner and we'd have everyone come together as a large group. But during COVID, we've done more of individual door portraits and specialized baskets for them. We're just seeing what that will look like at the end of April.
Wow, and that's a pretty quick turnaround because guidelines change within a few days. And fingers crossed that they don't change the opposite direction again in April just before your activity, right? So it's a little bit of planning and adapting, I can imagine. And Lindsay, because Stephanie hasn't met you over the phone before, would you like to share with her where you are and what you do for work?
That is totally fair. So I'm Lindsay Agar. I work for the City of Whitehorse as their corporate events planner. And I'm out of the Canada Game Centre out of Whitehorse, UConn.
Great. So thanks. And you bring a really awesome perspective into our learning events about special events. And that's a really important part of recreation. So thanks for sharing all of your knowledge around that, too. Over to you, Stephanie, and maybe you might want to also include your past experience with the Recreation North training program as part of your introduction, just so that Lindsay and Megan are aware of that. So if you'd like to introduce yourself, Stephanie.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Katria-Kedu. I live in Enterprise, population approximately 101 people. We are located about 37 kilometers south of Hay River, Northwest Territory, so I'm not actually too far away from major, you know, grocery stores and all that stuff, so everything is good there. I am also a firefighter and first responder in our community, and I'm a parent, a wife. I'm also part of a committee to try to get a school in Enterprise because we're the only community in NWT that does not have a school. So that is something that we have been working on. And for planning recently, I did a family fun bingo last weekend, and it was family orientated, so it was fantastic. It was great to have the kids. We had 20 participants and 21 including myself. Before that, I planned a birthday party for my daughter at the swimming pool in Hay River. And I had originally planned it for the 26th of February. And at that time, we needed documentation for vaccinations, right? And then March 1st, I had to reschedule because not everybody were able to get their vaccination papers to go to the swimming pool. So I rescheduled till March the 5th, and March the 1st, we did not require the vaccination papers to go into the swimming pool, so it was a little bit of a gong show there. Other than that, my past... I know, it was stressful. So this is the 10th course of the 12th courses that I need to complete in order to pass this whole Recreation North course. So I'm looking forward to the next two. Thank you.
Awesome. And I think your next two will be at the beginning, like in September. So Stephanie joined us, I think it was a couple of years ago you started, right? And then
yes.
Obviously you're very busy in a number of different roles in your community. So that's very admirable that you have time to come back and join us, so thank you.
Thank you.
So thanks, everyone. As you can see, both in our personal and our professional lives, planning is something that we all do. It might be just as simple as jotting down a to-do list before you drive 150 kilometers to go to the grocery store, or it could be planning an overnight trip out on the land as well. We also all work for businesses or governments or communities that depend on strategic plans to guide operations. So that's another type of planning we do. And we have associations or nonprofits that rely on program plans and different budgets. We also live in communities where priorities might be laid out in an official community plan as well. So although planning in our personal lives is very similar to planning a successful program, most people, as you may have learned in Activity 1, don't necessarily receive formal training about how to plan. It's not always something that's included in schools or in our day-to-day lives. I think it's something that, you know, we more expect we might learn from perhaps adults in our lives or significant adults or other people. So, you know, you might learn going out on the land from your parents, or you might or from elders or something like that, or you might learn planning to go to school from a friend who's had that experience before. So there's a number of different reasons why we introduce planning in recreation settings. Let's take a quick look at what planning is. I'm going to go through slides 6 to 11 if you have them in front of you, and if not, don't worry about it. That's okay. At its most basic, planning is a roadmap or a land map, because not all of our territories have roads connecting different communities and things like that. So the map that you have helps you figure out where you are, where you want to go, and how you will get there. It's not likely that most of us would just set out randomly on, you know, a trip out in the bush or out on the land and not have some sort of plan. So I think that you can understand that that process of planning involves now, where you want to go, and how you're going to get from where you are now to where you want to be. In recreation, we plan all the time. Planning increases or improves the likelihood that what we're doing is going to be successful. So when we plan, it's more likely that our programs and events, whether it's a big volunteer appreciation or family bingo, it's more likely that our events will be successful when we actually plan. As you know, though, in recreation, success isn't just about the number of people who come to your program. Success is also about the long-term impacts that our programs have in our communities. So when you plan for success, it's really important to plan to with the benefits of recreation in mind. And the benefits of recreation is a theme that we've drawn through a number of our learning events, and in this one in particular, it's quite important to revisit that. It's sort of the foundation for what we do in recreation. It's where recreation emerged from, and it's the why. It's the passion and the motive that we have underlying everything that we do in our field. So some of the benefits that you might plan to achieve or work towards are shown on slide 7. So you might develop community leaders. You might help people connect with their outdoor spaces or on the land. You might strengthen families and community networks. So those are really sort of big scale benefits that we're all that underlie a lot of the work that we do. Planning is the first phase of a recreation programming cycle. So if you take a look at slide 8, you can see where the planning fits in. This slide was also introduced in PE 101, Design and Deliver a Program or Event. So there's different levels and scopes of planning. So for plan for success in this one, we're talking about bigger picture planning, but PE 101 was a smaller scale, like how you plan a specific program. So there are these different levels. For those of you who've taken part, and I think all three of you have, in CB 101 community building, you'll also recall that there's two different approaches to planning, and those are shown on slide 9. So regardless of how we approach planning, any planning that we do, as slide 10 shows you, consider the community, both the past, those are traditions, our cultures, our language, our history, the way things are done, and also the present. In leadership, who are our elders, what role models are there, what community groups are there. And then what we need to do is our planning has to be flexible to adapt to this local context and community, as well as to the purpose of why we're planning. So in recreation, we want to also consider the purpose of our plants. So slide 11 includes a lot of different types of plants, and you can have a look at that slide if you want. Planting is really important, and the purpose why we're planting is important, because we never have enough time or money, it seems, to plant. So, you know, Lindsay, you mentioned planning for your volunteer appreciation. Some of the things that are changing and the things that potentially could change in another month, you know, that planning is so important, but it never probably feels like you have quite enough time to do it or maybe enough money to do it the way that you really would like to. A plan can help you set priorities that determine where you're going to spend your time and where you're going to spend your money. And planning will happen at various levels, as I mentioned, for special events, for programs, for improvements to facilities, or as I just saw in White Horse, if they want to host the 2027 Canada Winter Games, even planning for new facilities. So that's, you know, 5 years off, but that planning has to happen right away. You might also be planning for things like trail development and outdoor spaces. So sometimes as a recreation leader, you might plan alone, you might plan with a small group, or you might plan with stakeholders or across sectors as well. At other times, you might also take time to plan with your community. So Stephanie, you mentioned a school, that's a, you know, probably a community planning process. If you come back to slide 11, you'll see why planning can be complicated. There's many, many different types of plans, and there's really no set rules about what a plan might be called. So you can look at some of those different words. I'm sure most of them will remind you of something, but you can see how each one is different. From a recreation master plan to a capital plan to an Indigenous community plan to a facility plan, all sorts of different types of plans. So we've covered a bit of the general background on what planning is. So I'd like to take us to take a couple of minutes now, or a few minutes, to consider what is important to plan for. So if you think that planning is about making change, it's about making a difference, and it's about ending up somewhere other than where you started. So what I'd like to do is we're going to go around and I'd like you to share a situation in your community that recreation could potentially change. Something that's possible, something that could happen successfully if you have good planning. We're going to start with Lindsay, and I'll just give you an example of what comes to my mind first and foremost. So some of the communities that I've worked in, and Lindsay's from Watson Lake and I work there too, we realized that children really needed opportunities to be active and engaged after school. It helps keep children healthy and it helps keep them out of trouble. So that type of opportunity or that situation, engaging children in healthy activities after school, is something that recreation could help change in a community. So there's no right or wrong answers here. Just think of your own community and share something that you might be able to change through good planning and through recreation. Lindsay, can I put you on the spot? We'll start with you, and then we'll go to Stephanie and then to Megan.
That's a good question. Are we looking like future things that we think could change or things that we've seen change already?
It could be either. So you pick, like, whatever sort of comes to mind about how, you know, you use recreation to change something that's going on in the community, and it's a positive change.
Okay. So last year, because of COVID, we were noticing that less events were happening, and mainly because of the restrictions, and some of it was starting to impact our bike safety information and celebration in the schools around biking and making sure that kids know how to bike safely. So we partnered with a whole bunch of different organizations and put on the first annual bike rodeo on June 1st, and we also tied it into kickoff to Parks and Rec Month. And so we were able to bring the community together safely outside during COVID, do this event where kids could come with their bikes and helmets and do an obstacle course, decorate their bikes, learn about bike trails, learn about bike maintenance, and a variety of other things. So it kind of, we found a little niche for us to do something to bring the community together and to also provide information about bikes, the beginning of biking season.
That's great. So, I mean, it provided sort of a social opportunity for people. It provided an opportunity to be physically active, but it also provided you an opportunity to promote maybe active transportation and a healthy lifestyle as well. So you can see how underlying that one event, there were so many things that you had the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Thanks, Lindsay. Stephanie, can you think of an example either that's happened in your community or one that you could happen where you could use recreation to sort of, you know, foster a change that is important or to fill something that's missing?
I would have to say transportation for our residents to Hay River is something that we would like to start to, like kind of like a programming where if any of the kids are in music lessons or after school programs or something like that, like our kids, they have to leave the Hay River school right after school and come straight back to Enterprise. And we did have an after-school program running. However, I'm the only staff member in recreation right now, and we were looking for someone else to work with me in order to have the kids in the after-school program. But one of the major issues that we do have is transportation, not just for the kids, but if there's anything going on for the seniors in Hay River, like at the library or anywhere, that is one of the major issues with Enterprise, is the transportation to have extracurricular activities or access to that. And I think that's one of the major issues in Enterprise. And having no school here, we're still lobbying to get a school here at least from junior kindergarten to grade six, just for the younger kids. And I'm just working on trying to get music lessons back in Enterprise, getting the crafting program started again, the quilting, getting instructors out here for any kind of exercise, yoga, anything like that. And so far, it's been pretty tough because a lot of programming in Hay River has resumed, and it's just I feel like the kids and the seniors and quite a few adults are missing out on socializing in Hay River. And not only that, but the programs that we have started here, like we still keep it to Enterprise residents only. I mean, it's a start. But I'd say that's one of the major issues that we have in Enterprise, and that is something that myself and the main office were trying to figure out how to get everything going. I mean, it doesn't help that our staff is so limited and volunteers are limited. So that's something that I would like to work on.
Yeah, and that's interesting because you're in a very small community, so planning, rather than planning recreation that you don't have necessarily the resources for, whether it's money or people, but planning to get people still to where the recreation is happening is an alternate way to provide those opportunities for, you know, a healthy lifestyle, for social interaction and things like that. And it's interesting to hear you talk about that because I'm sure Lindsay can understand how in Whitehorse we often have the same situation about the local transportation within Whitehorse and the challenges for getting kids from an after-school setting to a setting where there is some programming and things like that. So definitely it's something that happens in many, many communities is that transportation piece. So thanks for sharing that, Stephanie. Megan, is it for your community, is there something that comes to mind that, you know, maybe a challenge that has been facing or something that where your communities come together and use recreation and plan for recreation to sort of address what's going on, or is there an opportunity in the future?
I do think there are a lot of opportunities, but something that could definitely be done without too much hassle would be like a program for younger kids. I spoke before how Baker Lake is very sports focused, so outside of sports we don't have a lot of recreation going on, like we don't have music or arts or anything like that. But even with what we have, we could easily create something more for younger students, because the sports that we do have mainly starts once they reach secondary school, so grade 6 and higher. But for the elementary school kids, there isn't much. So, for example, my niece who lives in Ottawa is 2, and she goes to play soccer every Saturday. But nothing like that exists here, like nothing for toddlers or younger kids. So I think if someone wanted to create like an intro to sports or anything like that for younger kids, I think with just a bit of planning, that could be very easily done.
Yeah, so something like a multi-activity or a multi-sport type program, something to give kids an opportunity to develop probably physical literacy skills, which are really important if you're going to play sport by the time you hit 11 or 12 years of age, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's interesting if that's a gap in your community, then there's like a reliance on families to provide those opportunities for the younger children, and some families are able to do that, but some can't because they've got, they're working, they're caring for elders, there's a number of other things on their plate. So that is definitely a situation that a community could come together and possibly figure out ways to address through recreation. So thanks for sharing that, Megan. So as you can see, like, we all have different challenges in our communities, whether they're challenges as a result of COVID, like how do we get people together safely and socially, whether they're transportation, like how do we get people to access opportunities that they potentially could take part in, or whether it's how do we fill a gap that's missing. So when we plan, we want to be successful. And so there's a lot of thinking that goes into it. As the quote on slide 12 reads, nobody ever plans to fail. They just fail to plan. So sometimes it's really hard to address these things without good planning. There's never any guarantee, and I think we've learned that through COVID, that something will always change. We plan one thing and something happens and then it changes again. But if we plan or have some plans, we're more likely to be successful and have a greater impact on what we actually do. So if we, you know, plan to involve the community in what you're suggesting, Meg, in like a program that would involve younger children, and the communities involved in that planning and in deciding how it works and runs, it's much more likely to be successful than if one person tries to do it all on their own. And Stephanie, I think that's probably something that you could agree with, I'm sure. So basically then, we can have a greater impact when what we're planning begins with the end in mind. And let me just explain what I mean by that. So if you take a look at slide 13, there's not necessarily a northern cultural thing there of a fortune cookie, but it's the one thing that kind of came to my mind about sort of what I wanted to explain. So if in recreation, we're really good at doing what we do, but we're not so good at focusing on why we do it. So when we focus only on what, we have a shorter time frame in which we can be successful. So if we focus on delivering the arts and crafts program over spring break, that's a very short time to be successful. But if we focus a little bit more on providing opportunities for kids to be creative through a variety of programs, then that duration is a little bit longer. So I think you can maybe understand that. When we focus on why, it usually takes longer to get there, but the change or the impact that we have is bigger. And if we want those changes, those benefits of recreation, then we need to focus on the why. So think of your fortune cookie in this picture. So why is the fortune in the cookie? You can also think of it as the outcome. So the what is the outside. So imagine you're holding a fortune cookie in your hand. What you will see is probably a crispy outside of a certain shape, like a crescent shape that's folded in half, and it looks crunchy and it's a certain color. So that what you see is kind of like what we do for recreation programs, events, pools, tennis courts, arenas, recreation centers. But inside the fortune cookie is what motivates everybody. It's what they really care about. They want to read what's inside the fortune cookie. And so that's what we need to do in recreation. We need to look at, yeah, we're doing what? What are we doing? We're doing these things, but really why? And try and engage people and think about that why and focus on our why. So this is more about working in the field, in the area of outcomes. So slide 14 says, outcomes are our foundation. Outcomes actually guide the work that we do in the field of recreation, and they're the reason why we even have a field of recreation. You've taken part in the activity number 2, where you looked at outcomes and outputs. So this might help, this discussion might help. So as slide 15 explains, outcomes are benefits or changes the participants, groups, or communities experience during or after they participate in recreation. So outcomes are things that weren't there before at the beginning. So, Lindsay, in your case of the bike rodeo, maybe one of the outcomes is that everybody recognizes the need to keep kids safe on their bikes. And that recognition or that new knowledge or that change in attitudes, that's an outcome. You might have had 50 kids participate. That's not the outcome. The outcome is what actually changed as a result of that. So, as I mentioned then, outcomes are things that weren't there at the beginning. Usually, if you think about it, usually the change is better or it's positive. But in some cases, the change, and not so much in recreation, but the change can get worse because an outcome can lead to a change in condition. So if you think about people living with chronic conditions, that's a progression and the outcome is not getting better, it might get worse. So outcomes aren't always positive. Sometimes they can be negative as well. It's pretty easy to get confused between outcome and output. The first 3 letters of both of those words are the same, but outputs are very different to outcomes. Outputs are things that we produce, so a bike rodeo, and things that can be counted, 50 participants in it. In this week's RLA, you decided whether the statement was an outcome or an output. So now what I'd like to do is take the situation or the example of the program that you just shared or the recreation piece, and we're going to take a bit of time to identify one outcome and one output for the situation that you just shared. And Stephanie, I'm going to put you on the spot first, but I'll explain first just so that you have a chance to understand what I'm looking for as we go around our circle. And so we'll go Stephanie and then Megan and then Lindsay. So we're looking for an outcome and an output. So the situation I shared was an after-school program. The outcome would be that children who are active and engaged in that program develop a better sense of connection to each other and to their community. They also might develop lifelong habits around physical activity, so that's an outcome. The output would be things like, the number of children between the ages of 6 and 11 and that they have a program that runs 2 afternoons a week that they can come to. And so that program and the sessions are sort of my output. So let's come back to your example, Stephanie, and let's imagine that you have a transportation for recreation, kind of rhymes a little bit, transportation for recreation in place for enterprise. What would be an outcome that you might expect you could see eventually, and what would be an output? Can you sort of explain the difference between the two with an example?
Okay, I think for the transportation, I see a lot more, I would say, mental well-being and physical well-being for any of the participants that can attend, like, let's say, music lessons after school, swim lessons, And for the seniors, if they need to get a ride for senior shopping or something like that, but just for their own well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, and physical well-being. And I think just, well, after COVID and everybody being like at the state where you had to stay at home, you couldn't go anywhere, couldn't interact, and I think would really help the community, the residents of the community to kind of rebuild their social skills, being able to connect. And I just feel like it would make, it would help any participants who can have access to transportation to anything that is going on in Hay River. And I think it would just generally improve, the quality of life for all ages. So I think that's the outcome. And the output will be the amount of participation and the amount of, hopefully, once we get this program going, then there'll be more and more participation. And I think that's one of my major issues in Tana. And I'm working with the senior society also, and I do hear their needs and what they would like to have done. And also, with the lack of transportation, I would like to eventually get more instructors, music lessons, and et cetera, that kind of thing going on in Enterprise. But ultimately, the outcome I would like to see is the improvement of the residents' quality of life.
That's great. So that's you've shared a really good example of how some outcomes are much more longer term and other outcomes are shorter term. So your longest term one is quality of life, right? And then a little bit shorter term, you mentioned mental and physical well-being. You mentioned social connections. And then even on a shorter term, you sort of mentioned people taking part in something and learning, like swimming or music. So, you know, developing new skills as well, and that might be a shorter term outcome. So sometimes the reason this is important is often if you're planning something, somebody might be asking you, what are you hoping to accomplish in the short term and in the long term? So if you can sort of put your head around that, that's what I like. You've got a flow there, Stephanie, so that's great. And then you've also clearly identified outputs. So you said the number of people, maybe it's the number of trips that are maybe tweaked. Maybe it's even just that there's a bus transportation available 3 days a week. But that would be it. You know, maybe you have a dedicated driver with a class 3 license, because that's an important part too. So you can see the difference between outcomes and outputs really clearly for what you've described. So thank you. Megan, how about you? Would you like to tackle, let's say that you're talking about something where younger children, and I kind of wrote down under the age of 11 maybe, like 10 and younger, might have opportunities to participate in more structured recreation and community sport. What would be some of the outcomes if that was in place, and what do you think would be an example of an output that would help make the change?
So I guess the outcome, the participants would have improved physical literacy and a better connection to organized sports at an earlier age. And with organized sports, of course, that comes like leadership and teamwork and everything else that comes with it. Output, I guess, would be pretty similar to yours, where the children have the opportunity to be introduced to multiple sports, like outside of school.
Yeah, and you could be really specific, like, it would be 2 days a week for an hour and a half each day or something, you know, like you don't have to, that's sort of the output thing, right? Like what you actually created. Mm-hmm. So that's really great. Like your outcome, you've identified increased physical literacy skills, a better connection to sport. If you go a step longer, why is it that we want kids to be more physically literate? Why do we want them at a younger age to feel like they're more connected to sport? So now think longer term than physical literacy and connection to sport under the age of 10. What's the longer term outcome for them?
Yeah, I think so. especially when they're at a younger age, they kind of not only get into the habit of it, but realize how important it is. Because if they go like 10, 11 years of their life not having those opportunities, then they might not prioritize it when they're older either. So I think it's really important to introduce it as young as we can and have it continue on, because recreation and sport is lifelong. So even though we focus on continuing it, we should also look at starting it sooner.
Exactly. So it's interesting when you explain an outcome, right? You can ask yourself, well, why is that important? And you can get to a longer-term outcome. And then you can say, well, why is that important? So while you were talking, I was writing down, you've talked about habits, like healthy habits, being active over your lifespan, you know, having the confidence to try different sports. And if I take that even longer, healthy children are usually healthy adults. And if we develop physical literacy skills at a young age, so if we know how to slide on snow or ice, if we know how to balance, those sorts of things, then as an older adult, we're also more likely, like we reduce the likelihood of injury and things. So you can see how you can take one outcome for a program that you might choose to run for children under the age of 10. And really, if you keep asking why, you can see how it can actually, those benefits can expand over the lifespan. So thanks for sharing that, Megan. It's interesting. If you ever want to get to the root of what somebody's explaining to you, just keep asking them, well, why is that important? And you'll get right down to where their values are and what it is that's really important. Thanks, Megan. Lindsay, how about yourself? So, you know, the different sort of program, because you had a special event day with the bike rodeo. Would you like to describe, and I might have said one of them already, sorry, but the desired change or outcome for that event that you sort of had in mind when you went ahead with the event, and then identify an output that helped you make that change possible?
Yeah, actually, you did tell them, but that's okay. So for us, one of the outcomes is that social engagement in a positive way around bikes, and we did see that with all the kids. We had over 100 people, which is still within the regulations at the time, come out to enjoy the activities. And with them going through like the obstacle course, we could see that they're developing skills going through. They're learning how to weave, they're learning how to go over things. So those are outcomes, and I think our output for us for a successful event is we have multiple partners from diverse backgrounds. So like we had RP there, we had our trail coordinator, we had sustainability for bike to work week, like wildlife viewing. So we had quite a lot of partners to participate, and we had a lot of participants. So yeah, those would be our output.
That's great. So you explained your outputs and why some of those outputs were important for the outcomes that you were looking at changing. You mentioned the output of having partnerships. Why or what was the outcome associated with having those partners involved, or why was it important?
It was important to diversify our programming. We also needed to reconnect with our groups that we play in the same sandbox with, because we haven't done that in a long time. So this is a way for us as a city to revitalize our relationships with our partners.
Yeah, so that's a great word. Like, you know, you can think of that as an outcome. Our outcome for this is to revitalize some of our relationships as partnerships. And that's an important outcome for you, but it's also an important outcome for your community, because when you have stronger relationships in your community, people feel more supported, they feel safer, they know what's going on. So those relationships that we have, whether it's, you know, as a program leader with children on our program, or whether it's on a bigger scale as an organization with other stakeholders and partners, it just helps to contribute to a stronger community that better supports recreation as a whole and also healthy, safe lifestyles. So thanks for sharing that, Lindsay. Anything else to add to that?
Um, me.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk that through. This will really help you with your last required learning activity. And I see that you've all done the first required learning activity, which was just to identify the different outputs and outcomes in activity number two. So thanks for doing that as well. So this wraps up our first of our two conference calls for RP 101. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time today to listen and to share your perspective. Since you've already finished the RLA for week one, you might want to just sort of jump ahead and work on week 2-1 because it does ask you to do a little bit more of a plan. But if you're not comfortable doing it and you want to wait till next week's conference call, by all means, you could just start it, look at it, and then move ahead with it in week two. So it's totally up to you. So thanks. Our call's a little shorter because we have fewer people on today, but I look forward to talking to you all again next week. And if you have any questions, please do stay on the line after I finish the conference recording, and I'm happy to answer them. So, Masicho, merci, thank you, Nakamik. Have a super, I guess it's almost the weekend, so have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline.